What a very, very good morning to you. It is wonderful to be back again after a time away. For some who haven't had time away, well done for persevering. It's just wonderful to be part of a fellowship and we can worship freely, worship the living Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So what a gift, what a blessing it is to be able to worship together. So this morning we have Holy Communion and we're going to share in this meal together. And the message is really, hopefully, an inspiring message to keep going in our faith, to not give up, and to know that through Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Not for our glory, but for him. Can we have the screen on? Is that okay? Is it audio on or not on? Okay, let us pray before we unpack a little bit of, I say scripture, we're not going into a deep dive, it's more of a hopefully an inspiring message. Calling? No, 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 I can't. Does that resonate? Calling? Really, Jesus? You're asking me to do that? No, 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 I can't. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Jesus, that we can continue in our worship because you are the focus. Lord, you are the center. Lord, you are our savior. And I pray that as we look at some of the scriptures this morning, we look at some of the heroes of faith. We look at that notion of what does it mean to be called and led by you? And then as we share in the holy communion with one another, may we know that you truly are a loving, faithful God, that we can put all of our trust in you. No matter what sins, no matter what kind of bad habits are going on, the unseen things that you see, I pray that this morning, because of your love, your hope, that we as your people will not hold back in offering ourselves afresh to you. Thank you, Lord, that you are everything. Amen. Amen. Okay, so calling. No, 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 I can't. So we're not alone. We're not alone. These are just but a few names in scripture that have probably had that response to when God calls them and they go, no, surely not. Not me. I can't because. Or are you really calling me to go into this situation? What? How can you be a God of love when you're asking me to do this? Etc., etc. Hopefully I'm not alone when it comes to going, cool, I profess Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. But then it doesn't magically poof life into an easy life, magically fairy tale, princess, Disneyland, everything's fine, the bank balance is healthy, all of our emotions are wonderfully perfect, we're not on a roller coaster. Our health is perfect. Everything is wonderful. I mean, that's not my reality. I wonder if that's your reality. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, there is that hope and that assurance. We are saved into his kingdom to be his people. Amen? His people, his kingdom, the inheritance of heaven and his rule and reign. And we can be placed into situations that are so difficult and hard, but through Christ, we can face these trials and tribulations, tests, doubts, concerns, frustrations, burnouts, turmoils, and all these wonderful words like that. So Moses faced oppression. As we know, we read in scripture that Moses, no, no God. Don't send me. I can't do this. I have a stammer. I'm not eloquent enough. And actually, God got a little bit miffed with him. It's like, for goodness sake, I'm paraphrasing, for goodness sake, Moses, okay, have Aaron, he will come, he will help. Jonah, he was called to proclaim judgment to a whole nation of, well, a whole people of Nineveh. Nineveh were quite a scary place for Jonah. It was a very dominating place. And Jonah was called to go and speak this judgment to them. What did he do? No way, I'm off the other side. I'm not doing that, God. No way. Absolutely never. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. And then what does God do? Brings him back through a miraculous intervention, storms, great big massive fish. And then he speaks and proclaims the judgment, the holy judgment on the people. And then he sees this huge transformation, turnaround, the whole of the people coming to Christ. But then what does he do? Jonah has a good old whinge. Oh, it's not fair. Look, you've done this. And there's a whole emotional roller coaster. Abraham. Oh my, Abraham. The unknown. God calls him out of his homeland into a whole unknown, not a complete picture or story. But Abraham goes, okay, I'm off. I'm going to trust you. And there's that whole journey of new situations, going into a new environment, but still trusting all the way, that faithfulness without the complete picture. Gideon, confronted with such military force and might, unbelievable circumstances, and yet he trusted God. He trusted in the living God, and then confronts against all odds through the power and mercy and authority of God, through some incredible interactions, defeats this enormous army. Elijah, that's spiritual warfare. He's a prophet called in some very dark times, the rule of King Ahab. And Jesus is there using him. God's there using Elijah to speak truth. Hundreds of prophets of Baal worshipping, horrific things going on, that real spiritual darkness. And through it all, Elijah was like, no, I'm going to proclaim and speak out the truth of my living God. Incredible. But then what happens? He feels he's lonely, gets arguably quite depressed. Who am I? I'm not worthy. Oh, woe is me. And that whole interaction with God, the living God. Again, emotional roller coaster. And then Jeremiah. I mean, we could go on and on and on about stories, heroes of faith. And I'm sure we can insert your own names as well, where you've been called into different situations, different circumstances. You're going through some very hard times, but you're still choosing to follow Jesus Christ, that living faith, that faith that transcends all human understanding, that supernatural ability to go, I trust in Jesus Christ. It's not in our strength. It's not our ability. It doesn't make sense to people around us. But we continue on in our faith. Jeremiah, we're going to be entering into a sermon series in the coming weeks, months, maybe years. It's quite a long book, but who knows? Let's see how it goes. But Jeremiah, he faced rejection and persecution. He was there used by God speaking out truth. It's really hard life of choosing to speak out for God's ways, his truth. Very difficult, very hard, very challenging. And we see a whole range of emotions and hard, tough choices, consequences. But Jeremiah stood strong and faithful. He had doubts, questions. He's known as the weeping prophet, amongst other things. He called out, but he trusted. That faith was strong. So we're not alone. We are not alone. You may be wondering, have you heard of that expression, imposter syndrome? Sometimes we can feel, well, I can't be involved in this great mystery of faith. I can't be involved in mission or worship or preaching or whatever it may be. Who am I? I'm not good enough. I keep messing up. I keep returning to that vomit of sin. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not. God won't want to use me. Do you know that is such a lie? It's such a lie. The enemy doesn't want his people, sorry, the enemy doesn't want God's people to be alive and active in the kingdom and purposes of Jesus. I would say sin is real. Sin is a very real thing. There's heaven, there's hell. When we continue in our sin, if we haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, if we haven't come fully surrendered, opening ourselves up, recognizing the need, the desperate need of a Savior, we cannot survive through just good works, by paying nice things to charities, by doing good deeds, by being a nice person. That is not what life is about. We have to acknowledge Jesus as our Savior. We are in desperate need of a Savior from our sinful ways, from this sinful life. And then when we accept Christ in that genuine, repentant heart, wow. It doesn't mean we're perfect. Speaking from my own life, not perfect, still broken, still a mess. But we're on this ongoing, transformative relationship with God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. That sanctification. Where once we were in darkness, now we're in light. We still wrestle with our sins, but what identifies us, first and foremost, is that we are now Christian, saved by the blood of Christ. And then from that point, we still might mess up. We're going to mess up. There still might be sins. There still may be things we have to work on, work through. But our shift of perspective and focus, our very identity, our very core is absolutely transformed from being selfish to selfless. Not Christ-like, but then Christ-like. So let us know that we have got a hope and an assurance because of Jesus. Sanctification, I want to focus on that word. What does that mean? Sanctification represents the subjective dimension of salvation as it relates to God's holiness, describing how sinful souls are purged from defilement and separated from worldly service to be dedicated to God's progressive hallowing. I haven't heard of that word for a while, hallowing. Be holy because I am holy, says God. Be in the world, not of the world. There's a call there. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The word of God is our moral compass, our guide. We talked about this regularly. I will talk about this regularly. This isn't just to amass information and knowledge, but it is a mirror to challenge our very convictions, our very soul. Living faith should, from the inside, affect who we are in the public spaces and in the private spaces. A living faith, that sanctification, is that in-between bit where we give our lives to Christ and that ongoing work of God's holiness, righteousness, truth, conviction, surrendering. That's that sanctification in preparation then to come again, once again, to meet Jesus when we die. That heavenly, eternal, eschatological, everlasting, wonderful life in heaven. I've been watching, there's a guy called Ray Comfort. I'm not 100% sure on all of his theology, but there's a ministry called the Living Waters Ministry. And this guy has got loads of videos out available to watch and engage with. And one of the things that I've seen quite a few times is that he goes out and evangelizes. He just goes out and he does recall people. He gets their permission, as far as we can tell. And it's not manipulated, it's not forced. And he actually gets quite strong confrontations. But he goes through and he asks simple questions. And one of these things is, one of the things, so do you think you're a good person? Like, are you okay? How are you getting on? And most people respond by saying, yeah, I'm a good person, I'm fine. I'm living a good life, things are great. I don't need God, thank you very much. Then he goes through the Ten Commandments. So, have you ever lied? Yes, so you're a liar. Okay, so you're a liar. Have you ever stolen? Oh, actually, yeah, I've stolen before. Ah, so you're not just a liar, but you're also a thief. How's that going for you then? And he goes through the Ten Commandments. And actually that person, oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm doing good things. No bother, no problems. When confronted with the truth of Scripture, with that God order, with that holiness, oh, it's hard to go, oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm sorted. And it's really quite incredible how then you talk about Jesus and the need for our Saviour. And often these people, not everyone, but sometimes there's tears and that recognition, God, I'm such a sinner. Help me to know Jesus. And through teary eyes, without any music, without any lights going up, with any smoke machines, without any anointed, well-paid, charismatic, cool pastor, simple conversation. There's that holy encounter of somebody recognizing, I'm a sinner. And then, God, and the need for a Saviour. God, we need a Saviour. Sin's real. The enemy is real. Living faith. No longer I, but Christ in me. It's not about me. It's about Christ. I'll just share this as an example of the upside down world of when we live for Christ and not for ourselves. Some of you know, some of you don't know, I used to be in a rock band back in the day. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. It was all about me, all about music, the whole lifestyle of wanting to be a rock star. Almost died, came back to life, hated God, didn't believe in it, went to church, totally transformed. Oh my days, Jesus is real, this is life. 2001, since then, a journey, incredible journey, amazing encounters, incredible moments, and now I'm an accredited Baptist minister. Married, 4 kids. I could share story after story after story of encountering God. Moments of divine interaction. Incredible surrendering, tears, healings, restoration, deliverances. The living God being outworked through this broken soul by his love, grace, and mercy. Where once the Mecca for me, the absolute pinnacle would have been to play at Hammersmith Apollo, which is a rock venue in London, then became almost meaningless because it's all about Jesus Christ. It's about seeing his love impact others, to see souls won for Jesus, to see lives transformed because of this living God, to be able to share, talk, pray, engage with the real world, with people who are battling through, struggling. I don't need God. I'm a good person. I don't need God. Who do you think you are to tell me that I need a saviour? I now write songs, trying to write songs that glorify Jesus. Who do we point to in our lives? To whom and to what gets the glory? Trials, tests, hardships, that deep joy we can have for knowing Jesus. Now, please don't get me wrong. I've talked about this before. I can end up wallowing big time. Even though there's been all these amazing encounters, experiences, interactions, healings, salvations, etc., 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 I can still go, God, are you even real? Where are you? That juxtaposition of reading faith, reading about faith, stories of perseverance, incredible prophetic encounters, Jesus, the disciples, everything else. And yet our own life, our own reality is boring, numb, uneventful, bank balances lacking, whatever it may be. But all of us can be a part of his plans and purposes. That ongoing work, that ongoing faith, the very core of who we are is transformed. I'm going to read Philippians 2:13. Now, I am reading from the Message. I know I've got loads of Bible translations. What's the optimal Bible translation? Should you really preach from the Message? Well, Spurgeon's College said no, never. But here we are. I'm using the Message. As you know, I've been using the King James recently, so this is like a polar opposite. King James Message. But Philippians 2:13. In a world that is ever increasingly getting messy, wars, rumours of wars, disasters, natural disasters, horrific abuse all across the ages, where do our convictions lie? To what or to whom is our very core? To who do we give our time, attention, our worship? What are those idols in our lives that will never, ever give us life? They will never satisfy, ever. Trinkets, tickling ears. Where's our discernment? I'm getting there. I'm not used to it's all sticky pages. I don't really use this one that often. Okay, so Philippians 2:13. What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you, God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Now, I want to work on that, highlight the word energy. I'm not talking about New Age energy or weird Kundalini spirits or anything else like that. This is just merely a phrase of going, that fuel, that deepness, that inside our very core, that burning passion, that energy, that driving force, which is Jesus Christ, God our Father, and the Holy Spirit. And then 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. Because of the extravagance of these revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. This is Paul speaking. I should have said that before. This is Paul speaking. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that, and then he told me, "My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness." Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Such a wonderful example of somebody who's living and outworking faith with Christ at the center, with own vulnerabilities, his own weaknesses, frailties. We don't know what that thing is, that crutch, that thing that he kept referring to, Paul referred to. But he faced persecution, he faced abuse, he ridicule. And yet, in weakness, acknowledging vulnerabilities, weakness, in Christ, turning the weaknesses into strengths. May we be encouraged that when we are nudged by the Holy Spirit, by living Jesus Christ, by living God, to maybe smile at someone as we walk in the streets. We don't know what impact that smile can have. I think we can all smile. Some of us, maybe our face might crack a bit, but I put myself in that category sometimes. I don't want to smile. I don't want my face to be happy because I'm not feeling it in my heart. But if we smile at someone, who knows? If we're attentive and listening, not focusing on our failures. Well, I'm not as good as that person. I can't because. I'm not able because I'm in a chair. I can't because whatever. I didn't train or insert anything. No. If God can turn an absolute muppet in Andy Eyre to then be on this journey of sanctification to hopefully bring a message of hope because of Jesus, there is hope for all of us. I don't say that I was such the worst of sinners ever. No. But I'm saying that all of us, Christ died for each and every one of us. No matter what we're struggling with, battling through, we've got to recognize our need of a savior. We have to keep surrendering afresh to Jesus, which is why we have these wonderful moments of encounter through a holy communion together. But let's encourage each other. Let's not give up. I would love to see us get really excited about speaking out into the community to help one another, to see lives transformed. Maybe it starts our own lives being transformed. To know that in Christ, we truly can be a part of his plans and purposes. Not to feel that we're an imposter, but to surrender and to go, "Lord, here I am, send me." Selfish to selfless. We've all fallen short. So let's keep worshiping, Let's keep speaking out truth. Let's know that we cannot do it in our own strength, but through Christ who lives in us. It's for his glory, for his name to be known. Amen. So we're going to come now time, I'm going to pray in a minute. We're going to come now to a time of this holy meal. There's a leader, that would be myself, saying the words, and then we could all share together the words under all. And for the servers, we're going to be serving the bread first. Then we're going to, worship team will sing and minister a song over us all. And then we'll serve the wine. And then we'll keep hold of the cup and drink together. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Jesus, that you are our Lord and you are our Saviour. Thank you that by this incredible, wonderful mystery, but the reality of a living faith with you, that sanctification, that journey of becoming more like you, sometimes that is hard, it's pruning. We've got to acknowledge and recognize the sinful nature in us. But Lord, thank you that you do not discard us. You don't leave us. You don't isolate us. You don't leave us just to rot. Far from it. You walk with us. You journey with us through the struggles, through the pains, through the hurts, through the unknowns, through the doubts, through the joys. You're there. And I pray that as we seek to surrender more to you, more of our selfish ways, to let go of that, the sinful habits, to surrender to you, to bring things into the light, that we would know that as you are a loving God, that it's safe, that we're protected. Thank you that you heal and restore. Thank you that through faith, through doubts, through the unknowns, that we can have that deep joy. Thank you, Jesus, you didn't call us to be happy, clappy, fake, but you called us into a real, living, authentic relationship. Lord, I pray that through the example of reading out the Ten Commandments, that there's things there that resonate in our own lives, that we'll continually acknowledge that we need you. Help us to be your hands and feet. Help us not to be held back by our doubts and our own failings. Help us to reach out to the lost, the broken, the poor, our neighbours. Help us to be obedient to your call, no matter how small or how big that may be. Call to the nations, call to your neighbor. Call to be part of a big denominational movement. Call to just serve teas and coffees to the handful of people. In your hands, with you at the center, it's not about the size of things. It's not about the outworking. It's about who we are, being obedient to you. And that obedience then leads to lives transformed, being part of your body, part of your kingdom, not for our glory, not for our praise, not for man's affirmation, but truly to see lives come into your kingdom for your glory, for your praise, for your adoration. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that perhaps if there's people here this morning, people at home listening, watching, people who may be listening at a future time, if there are things in our lives that have festered for too long, may we bring them to you. Maybe there's a faith that is by a tick box faith rather than a transformative faith, living faith. Help us to recognize our need for you. Help us to know we are sinners. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to surrender afresh.